The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
Platform. This is the Leadership Masterclass. I'm Adrian Groenewald. Great to be with you for the next hour. In the studio with me, some fantastic guests, and we're going to talk about leadership. Not only movement, but successful movement. So stay with us. Visit leadershipplatform.com for all things leadership. Two P's in the middle. In the studio, Rich Simmons. Great to have you here again, Rich.
Thank you.
And he's brought along a very interesting man all the way from the U.S., Wright Thurston. International Success Group is his company. He travels the world with his team of, this is what I read, millionaire makers. And, well, I guess teach people how to become millionaires. It's all about creating movement, in fact. Those are all words. But we're going to explore with him, especially in the second half, what he can share with us, teach us, and hopefully we can all learn from one another. Wright, it's great to have you in the studio.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
You've been in South Africa how long? A few days?
Yes. In fact, since first coming here about 18 months ago, this is my fourth trip. I've just felt a real kindred spirit here and love the energy of this area.
It's a lovely country. It really is. Africa is great. And you're going back?
I'm actually, I've been on a 2 or 3 week business trip. I meet my wife this evening in Rome, Italy, to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary.
So you go from here to the airport.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us. We think you can add a lot of value. And Louis Groenewald, the birthday boy, is with us on the Masterclass.
Looking forward to this program specifically.
I think let's not sing for him because we have a time limit. So okay, otherwise well, we would have sang.
So sad.
So today, as I said, last week we download the podcast. Last week we spoke about leaders being in the business of movement. And I proved it to you. And I shared some really interesting things, I believe. You can download that podcast. And then I would say download this podcast as well because today builds on last week. We discussed that leaders are in the business of movement, creating movement, and then we shared the universal law of movement. Rich was in the studio, so that's good. He can comment with us today because I think last week you also, Rich, you kind of probably felt the instinct to move towards the next level. Well, how do we take the law of movement to successful movement? And that's what we're going to do today. Download that podcast. Personally and as a business, but let me quick recap. For approximately 20 years now, we've been interviewing and working with leaders across different industries, as I said last week. And we didn't just discover once, but we rediscovered and continue to rediscover. In essence, there are two expectations of all leaders. Doesn't matter where you are, leader, military, business, wherever. Two expectations. The first one is for a leader to create movement. So we place someone in a leadership position and expect them to bring about improvement, performance, growth, change, to maximize, all those nice words we use. But in essence, we're saying create movement, please. They take a situation that has been thrust upon them, or in the case of entrepreneurs, right, they sometimes thrust situations upon themselves, and they take it from where it currently is to a better place. And that, in essence, is movement. 100 years ago, it was expected of a leader running a factory or whatever to create movement, and 100 years from now, it will also be expected of a leader to create movement and to perform. That is a universal, non-negotiable for any leader. The second expectation was that we find is a leader is expected to behave in a certain way while he or she creates that movement. And this is why we create values in organizations, for example. We want the leader to perform, but we also want the leader to behave in a certain way. The way we expect leaders to behave 100 years ago may be different from how we expect them to behave today in 2015. And 100 years from today, maybe we expect them to also behave differently. So behavior is very important, but it's not universal. There's two things about behavior. One, it's situational. A leader's behavior will be different in times of crisis versus times of success, or in times of war or peace. And the second thing about behavior, it's very difficult to change behavior of a leader whose values have been instilled and entrenched. To change behavior is a very difficult thing. But those are two things expected of a leader. Create movement and behave in a certain way. So here's the law of movement we shared last week, if you missed it, and then we're going to build on it. Let me recap. All movement, the bird, the business, the relationship, doesn't matter what it is, all movement in life is governed, regulated by the integration or the coming together of only three things: motivation, direction, and structure. All three of these elements must come together. Not one or two, but all three. Motivation is that energy needed for anything to move. It actually sparks or fuels the movement. But if you don't attach some direction to the motivation, it is useless. Direction would be your plans, your goals, the how, and north, east, south, west, depending on what moves. But motivation cannot exist without direction. And motivation and direction cannot exist without structure. Structure is your organization, your facilities, your resources, your systems, your procedures that give substance to motivation and direction. So, please understand that whenever you walk, or drive, or fly, or grow a business, or division, you run a project, or build a relationship, there is always some level of motivation present that will spark that movement. There's always some direction being implemented, and some structure that gives substance. Always, always. Last week, I used simple examples like walking and driving. I'm not going to do that today. You can go listen to the podcast. But let's expand on the law of movement, motivation, direction, and structure. I'm going to ask my panel here today, experienced men, to share some thoughts on how you would take this law of movement to another level. Now, I know Louis and I think on the same level, so we'll see if we pull him in at this stage. But from you, Wright, who teach leaders in essence to create movement, I think, and also Rich, how would you take motivation, direction, structure, the integration of that to create movement, to another level of successful movement? Wright, your thoughts.
Well, and I hope I'm on the right track. I'll tell you what's come to mind. One of my first leadership mentors and influences when I was a teenager was a man by the name of David McKay. And he said something that I hope the listeners won't mind me saying this, but he said, people always wonder what God's going to ask you when you pass away from earth. What are the five or six questions he's going to ask you? And I remember those answers or the questions changed my life at that time, because he said that he thought the first two things God would ask you would be about your relationship with your spouse and your children, and were you meeting their needs. But down in the list, he would say, it doesn't really matter what you do professionally. As long as you're magnifying that calling, as long as you're doing that profession to the best of your ability. Mm. And the final question of the six, which was life-changing for me at 11 years old, is he said, what did you do on your time on earth to contribute and give back? How were you of service to others? Mm. Because I think that's the real essence of what you're talking about here. A lot of people can be happy and successful themselves, but I think it's more important on the impact you have on your followers and the people you work with and how they're doing 20 and 30 years down the line. It's just not enough to help someone momentarily. You want to really affect key change. Just one more little quote. A colleague once said, everything you want in life is just outside your comfort zone. And a lot of us get set in our ways. We get set and change. And I know the things that I did in my 20s and my 30s, even if I wanted to do them today, it wouldn't have the same impact. Leaders have to be adaptable to change. So I really like what you've said so far in your opening remarks.
Those are essence elements, right, that you're talking about. So find a deeper reason in what you're doing. Don't just think of being a clerk in a bank right now that I'm not contributing to society. If you had that attitude you're talking about, you might just be the best clerk around, and that means you'll probably move forward in life and be promoted and whatever else, but that's a secondary element, isn't it?
May I add one more comment, please?
Please.
There was a study done by Forbes magazine years ago, and they found out that the people that really, truly were successful in life and in business and in leadership rarely achieved it at their first go-around. None of us really get our perfect job that we love, we want to do the rest of our lives the first time. But what made all those people successful is they gave it everything they had. No matter what it was, from working in a fast food place to sweeping streets, they were going to be the very best they could be. And as a result, they were then offered other opportunities that allowed them to move up and enhance their abilities.
It came to them. Rich, your thoughts. You've had a week to chew on the law of movement. So how do you take the law of movement to successful movement?
Well, you know, and I probably said this last week, but it has to be about being consistent.
Yeah.
So a guy was telling me, it was a sales guy, and he said, I need to do 15 deals in a month.
Mm.
And I asked him, I said, so, but what do you do the other 15 days that you're not doing those deals? Or which 15 days do you decide to do those deals on?
Mm.
Or do you do all those 15 in one day and then leave the rest of the month?
Mm.
So isn't it easier just to make your goal 30?
Mm.
Or 20 days if you're going to work 20 days, just to keep making sure you're doing the same thing every day, as opposed to choosing which day you're going to work and which day you're not going to work, because it's that discipline that comes with a consistency that determines that success that Wright is talking about there. So perhaps the essence is that you've tried something at the start, you didn't have enough discipline to actually push it through, it was a failure, you then realize the reason why it's a failure is because you didn't put enough consistency into it. You put some more consistency in it, do it more often, and you get better results.
Yeah. I remember writing an article on consistency. I'm going to send it on to you.
Yeah, please.
You know, consistency, often it's the boring consistency that actually gets that movement happening. People want the flash in the pan, exciting, romantic things. And those are fine, but it's often the consistency. Louis, your comments? Sorry.
Well, Wright's point, based on the Forbes study, the most important leadership ability, of course, is, as he put it, they gave everything they had. So the quality of their motivation from the beginning, how you apply the motivation, it's not always the point, but you must have the drive. That's all about refining and sharpening your motivation levels.
Right?
I was just going to say my first real job was working for the IBM Corporation, and I'll be forever grateful for that training. But they taught us right off the bat that most people have to be exposed to IBM and its products at least 7 times before they say yes. Mm-hmm. And learning that principle fit in with so many other aspects of my life. You can talk to someone, if they turn you down, that rejection, people, you know, they lower their head, they feel sadly, they sometimes want to give up. When I realized that principle of, hey, I've got to talk to people 5 or 6 times, now when I got to know, rather than being upset inside of myself, I'm going, all right, you know, 5 or 6 more times and I've got them. So it is being consistent and persistent that will make the difference.
Okay, so let me share you the thoughts that we've discovered over the years now. I'm going to take the law of movement to another level, and then we'll discuss further. If you want to have positive, successful movement based on the foundation of motivation, direction, and structure, you have to ensure the following. Clarity of and passion for the source of the motivation. Clarity of and passion for the source of the motivation. Accurate and simple direction. And relevant structure. So when the source of your personal motivation for getting up every day and running through your list of things to do is crystal clear, and you feel inspired by it, passionate about it, and your direction, that's your plan, how you will give life to that source of your motivation, is accurate and simple with relevant structure, then your movement will be more positive. In fact, you will probably also have more resilience and endurance when you run into challenges and problems. So the clarity of the source that fuels, sparks your motivation determines the level of your aspirations. In fact, your source could also become your destination or your aspiration. Why am I motivated to get up every single day? Do I have to or want to? If it's have to, it is a lower form of motivation. Unless it is a matter of life and death, survival. Such a source of motivation can keep on going for quite a while. Eventually, you have to take it to another level, especially if you want, as we call it, positive movement, as opposed to just movement for the sake of movement. If you want to, rather than have to, you are on the better road to ultimate motivation. Now I'm suggesting you need to investigate the source, the real reason why you want to. It's fine to say, I want to do this, but what's the why behind it? If the answer inspires you, you will raise the level of your aspirations, your vision. Comments?
Oh, so many. Right. This is wonderful. I'm just all over the place. We could talk for hours on this. The motivation. I heard recently a story of a man that came to a church leader and said that he didn't feel he'd been very successful in life. His friends had more money, they had bigger homes, they had this, that, and the other. And the leader said to him, "So you and your wife have been married how many years?" And he said, 55. And your five kids, they all married and have good jobs? And he said, yes. And he said, you know, that's one of the greatest success stories I've ever heard. And I think sometimes that people, they should never equate money with success. But you should find something that you're passionate about, something that drives you to get up in the morning. And you, in your open remarks, used a word real quickly that I just like to reemphasize, and that was the word system. All my life, I believed if you break down those six letters, S-Y-S-T-E-M, a system, save yourself time, energy, and money. And a good leader will teach the people that follow him systems so they're not recreating the wheel, so they're not wasting time, so they can duplicate something. Quite frankly, this is why I'm here with you today. I was introduced to one of my mentors, Rich Simmons, one of the most knowledgeable social media people in the world, and I'm from the U.S. and I know this. And Rich, my dad taught me, you watch successful people, you see what they do, and then you do the same thing as long as it's morally and ethically correct. And Rich has helped me grow my social media presence just, well, a year ago when I was here, I had 1,000 followers on Twitter. Today I have nearly 50,000, and it's because of being coached and mentored. So you want to find a coach and a mentor, men or women, that you believe in, who believe in you, who have an abundance mentality. There are no secrets in this business. You just want to share everything because I think when you've been blessed in life, you need to turn around and bless the lives of others.
That's also a great source of motivation, Rich.
Absolutely. The interesting thing about these three points that you put out, clarity, direction, make it accurate and simple, and then the movement must be positive. Now, it made me think of a bee. And what I thought of the bee is he knows exactly what his motivation is. He needs to go and find the nectar, and that's find the closest flower or the most flavorsome flower and bring that nectar back to the nest so that they can produce the honey.
Simple, clear, isn't it?
Simple, clear. And I always look at Stephen King's example of write 2,000 words a day. Now, there'll be writers that do 10,000 words a day, but Stephen King doesn't 365 days a year, he writes 2,000 words a day. And what does it produce at the end of the day? 350 million copies that he sold. 64, 62, or whatever it is, bestsellers. But it just shows you that consistency. And I know that you talk about movement, but movement for the brain sort of asks us, when's the movement going to stop? The consistency word, and that's why I like the consistency word, is that it shows perpetual motion. It's consistency. There's no start and there's no end. It's just consistent.
Okay. Louis? Yeah? Louis, did you want to jump in there?
Well, the point, looking at backgrounds of the people involved here, in your case, I can see a whole pattern of motivation, direction, and structure. But you always go back, every day, in fact, as you know, with your spiritual background, to the quality of the motivation. That's what we believe is spiritual study and pondering and praying, etc. Always make it as sound as possible. If you get wrapped up in the structure, then you tend to lose the quality of the motivation. This is a central core lesson, I think.
Okay, let me take it further. Let's take an employee not performing, not moving optimally. Remember that he or she is already moving. He came to work, didn't he? He's moving on the job, isn't he? Maybe not optimally, but movement is already in progress. Otherwise, he would be lying dead on his bed. So there is some motivation, direction, and structure. But what you have to do as a leader is zoom in on the source of motivation, ranging from on the surface to deeper ones, ranging from I just want to earn a living to wanting to be part of something great. Find out what really drives this person to get up and move every day. Their deepest source of motivation, and then connect your own source and that of the business to theirs. So ideally, you have to know three sources of motivation: your own, your business or division, and theirs. Thereafter follows the same approach with the direction and the structure. One thing I've discovered recently is a question you can ask an employee who's not performing optimally or moving optimally. just to discover what their source of motivation is, ask them to mention three things that they are really proud of and why. And when they think of that, you start coming behind the movement. Why they do what they do every day. This will help you understand them and what motivates that person. Now, business not performing. This is my last example. Or moving as it should. And this is something Wright is so strong on. We'll find out more about him in the second part of the show. Could the same process apply is the big question. Could the same process apply? Let me throw it at you and then your comments. First of all, some questions. If a business is not moving, you ask the same question. Are you crystal clear on why there is a motivation for your business to move? What the source is that fuels or sparks the motivation for your business to exist? Your real deeper reason for existence. Doing the why drill always helps to get behind the obvious. So let me use Leadership Platform as an example. Are we at Leadership Platform doing leadership development? Multiplying leaders? Yes, but why? Why are we developing leaders? Because you cannot leapfrog leadership in your movement towards your ultimate potential. We are actually in the business of helping people move towards their full potential. And another factor, if we don't, we as a nation, South Africa, will lose our leadership heritage, which is so fantastic. And the alternative is a downward spiral towards failing businesses, failing schools, failing delivery with resultant violent protests, more and more of those, a failing power grid, more crime, in short, anarchy, lack of positive movement. This is part of the source of motivation for Leadership Platform, helping people move towards their full potential and to prevent society from absolute decay and anarchy. We are inspired by this and passionate about it. The second one is direction. The question for your business is your direction, the how, accurate and extremely simple? All the way down your business structures, because you, like the bee, because you can be deeply driven and motivated in the wrong direction. And if your direction is complex, you struggle to align it with the directions of other stakeholders, including your staff, who individually have their own motivations, directions, and structures to deal with. Life is complex enough, don't make it worse. How does Leadership Platform direct its source of motivation? Listen carefully. We multiply movement specialists in society and businesses, because then we awaken the leadership instincts in people so that they can move society in a positive direction. And finally, your question, if your business is not moving so well, are your structures relevant? Do they support very directly, cost effectively, and in simplicity, the accurate and simple directions and clear source of motivation? Now, I'm going to ask the panel this question. Our experience is this, that very often leaders at the top of organizations have budget to bring in heavyweight consultants and experts to assist them with this type of thinking, or to come close at least. But the question is, do leaders at the top understand the simplicity of this successful movement process? Right, you travel the world. Okay, we'll hear more about it in a moment. We're talking about the simplicity of taking movement to successful movement. Do leaders really understand this in this complex world we find ourselves in? Is that not the essence of what they're struggling with?
Well, it should be the goal. I agree. You know, you talked about this employee that comes in each day, but how motivated are they? Three words came to mind, and I hope this answers your question. I find, and I'm privileged to have like clients in 50 countries, and I find that many of them initially had jobs, and the acronym for that is just over broke. Okay, so they're just going through the motions because they have to. They don't like what they do; they're just doing it. Others have found a job like when I was with IBM, where it's more a career. You felt good about it. You liked being around people that were success-oriented. Mm. But I think the people that truly are with you for the long term, that are going to make a difference, that are going to catch your vision, are those that you help see their jobs as a calling. When they realize that they're just not there for a paycheck, but they're there to enhance the lives of people they work with, to enhance the lives of other organizations, I think that's the real satisfaction coming back at the end of the day.
But people haven't been trained to think the why, to look at the source of their motivation. They actually are brainwashed. They're actually like robots, getting up every day, and some motivation drives them, but it's not a deeper source of motivation. It's not a deeper why. It's not to make an impact in people's lives. It's to put food on the table. And that's fine. But what we said, that's the have-to motivation, source of motivation. You must get to the want-to. And then you must still investigate, why do I want to? And that's the deeper meaning. Rich, Louis, any quick comments before I finalize this?
Yeah, I think, you mentioned developing leaders. And the only way that you can identify someone that will be developed into a leader is look for that movement.
Yes, exactly.
Every day I get people asking me, please be my mentor, please. And I'll mentor people like Wright because I could see movement and I could see that they wanted to go somewhere themselves. But you can't expect to be mentored by anyone if you can't, there's that old saying, you can't steer the parked car. So when you can see there's movement, you can actually help that direction.
Correct. Yeah. It's like when the bicycle goes.
Yes.
Well, there's movement. Now you can steer it much more effectively. Right.
Can I make another comment? Over the years and different work experiences, and I'm thinking of one situation I was in where I was working with a lot of people in the 19 to 26 year age range. And I found that what was most motivating to them was the five words, you're doing a good job. To let them know, I tried to treat all of them as if they were the future leaders of what we were doing. And I said, until you prove me wrong, I'm going to treat you like a future leader. I'm going to treat you like the future CEO of this company. It's giving people a belief in themselves that they sometimes don't have, but we're able to see it because I'm not 19 or 20 anymore, but I remember how I felt then, and you want to help them just be the very best they can be in their lives.
Mm. Louis, comment?
When you get older, you instinctively look for certain patterns. And one of the things that I must admit I look for is the light in the eyes. People have a certain passion. Sometimes it can be a peaceful one, and other times it can be one of vibrant energy. But I would say once you feel the light is going out, it's a dangerous and a warning signal.
Yeah, it's so true. Now, final comments. It won't help if leaders at the top learn these skills of positive movement dynamics. Okay, I think a lot of leaders at the top don't grasp it fully, but it doesn't necessarily help if only they learn it, because junior leaders at the bottom must also create successful movement, do what we've been discussing here today. So he or she should learn to apply these same principles on a daily basis. That's where movement often gets stuck in a big corporate, in a big business. So let me summarize. For positive, successful movement, expand the law of movement by integrating the clarity of and passion for the source of the motivation in your own life or in the business or whatever you're trying to move. You need accurate and simple direction and relevant structure. We challenge you as a leader not only to listen to last week's podcast on movement, but also this week's, and then ponder this process. Try to implement it to create positive movement. But let me say this last thing. Applying this law is very simple, but it's difficult. And we'll discuss exactly why next week. Stay with us.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. Which is why we have partnered with the Leadership Platform to nurture leaders who are committed to growing our country's economy.
We are proud to say, it's an initiative that's already showing glittering results. Sibanye Gold, we are one.